Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Metallic Minerals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MMG, and on the OTCQB under the symbol MMNGF. We are chatting with the president of Metallic Minerals, Scott Petzl. Again, Metallic Minerals is focused on the gold and silver project, this high-grade Keno Hill project in Yukon, as well as the La Plata silver, gold, copper project in Colorado. Now, the last time we chatted with Scott, we recapped that initial resource at La Plata. In this interview, we're going to be focusing a bit more on the Keno Hill project because the company did release the final drill results from the 2021 drill program on May 26th. There were a number of high-grade intercepts over relatively narrow widths, right around a meter. And then there were also some longer intervals of slightly lower grade mineralization, but we're still talking a few hundred at least grams per ton silver equivalent in these results. One thing that stood out to me here, Scott, was that a lot of the high grade and the long widths all happen fairly shallow, no more than 150 meters downhole, most under 100 meters downhole. Take us through the final results here from the Keno Hill project and what the 2021 program told you about the potential here, please.
Well, I think we had a great season in 2021. And it's great to finally get all the results out to the market and let people know about, you know, what we were able to accomplish over the season. And particularly as we look forward to initiating our plans for the 2022 field season here very shortly, you know, we were able to drill across the property. We, I think, in total ended up with somewhere in the neighborhood of 53 drill holes and about 6,100 meters of drilling done over the course of the year. And that was really balanced between both the Keno West, Central Keno, and East Keno areas. And, you know, the district at 35 kilometers across is really quite substantial. And so, you know, with 6,000 meters, you focus on the areas you think have the best potential for both resource development and for blue sky discovery potential. And I think we've done a pretty good job of spreading the mix around over the last few years. But particularly our latest results or release was on our Keno West drilling or West Keno drilling. And that drilling was focused on our Formo target, which is one of our three very advanced targets that we're moving towards resource definition. And you mentioned kind of the narrow high grade. Well, we did have three intervals over 1,000 grams per ton in one hole and a bit of high grade in over 3,000 grams per ton in another hole. You know, and typically those are at fairly narrow widths, but we were able to delineate a 4.6 meter, which is a very healthy interval at nearly 1,000 grams per ton in one of those holes at a Formo target, as well as these broad zones of mineralization that we've talked about both at Keno East and Keno West and at Keno Central now too, where we're hitting intervals up to 112 meters wide. But at Formo in this latest program, we hit 22.8 meters at over 200 grams per ton, which is really a significant interval. And it speaks well to our ability to move the Formo target as one of our three priority targets towards a resource announcement as we move forward.
Well, Scott, as you move towards a resource announcement and how you were going to look at that, could you dive in a little bit more for people that are maybe not as familiar with your project, that you have these zones of high-grade, narrow veins, which you expect to find in Keno Hill, and that's what your neighbors at Alexco have found at their Birmingham deposits and Flame and Moth deposits. So a similar kind of mineralogy, but you also found all these wider intercept bulk tonnage style targets, and you're finding them, like you said, not just at East, but at Central and West. So you're finding them all over the property. How would you build a resource? Would it be more focused on the overall global, you know, what you could mine and what mining method you'd use? Or would you start with the high grade areas and then look at the other one as a second phase? How would you approach the mineral resource on those two different styles of mineralization?
Well, because we're still in kind of the discovery mode and advancing these targets towards resources, we really haven't looked deeply at the economics. But I can tell you there's a lot of similarity in between the narrow vein style and the broad mineralization packages in terms of the amount of silver within a particular area, whether it's a, you know, 100 meter by 100 meter block or whatever dimension you want to kind of characterize it as, because the broader nature of these intervals combined with the lower grade is very similar then in that case with the narrow vein intervals in the higher grade. And so we're going to have to look at each case individually and see which one has a greater economic potential for us and advance these targets in that economic discussion based around those observations. So, you know, the beauty of the narrow vein stuff is most of our drilling is all within 150 meters of surface, as you mentioned earlier. So they do make potential open pit or bulk mineable style targets that could be developed in that manner. And each target is going to have its own economic case to be made as we move forward.
So, Scott, this project is directly adjacent to Alexco's operational asset with nearly 300 million ounces of high-grade silver in past production and current resources. How are you guys using that project as a barometer to understand what to go after here in terms of building that large, that many ounces?
Well, you know, they've had great success and with respect to their exploration over the last 10 years and in building out the Birmingham deposit and advancing some of their other targets like Silver Queen and Belkino, where, you know, previous mining occurred. And they've been able to restart this operation. And we can dig into those economics in the technical report and understand what they've done and apply what they've done to what we're doing as a guidelines for how we move forward.
Well, Scott, as you start gearing up for the 2022 drill season here at Keno, it's a sad state of the industry that everybody's getting assay results back from 2021 just now at this point in the year. But do you have a general idea? I know that you just got the final results in, but do you have a general idea of what the drill plan will be for this year and what the balance of resource definition will be versus true discovery drilling? Because there are so many blue sky targets on your property, but I think a lot of people are excited to see how does this all culminate with what you've drilled the last few seasons? How does it all pull together?
Well, we're always actively optimizing our drill plan as we go forward with new information each and every week or day. And so with the bulk of our plans from this point forward for the 2022 season, we're going to be focused on trying to build resources with no particular timeline in mind here, but a drill focus on our Formo target, where our newest high-grade results came out, on our Caribou target in the central Keno area, which has over 80 pierce points in it already, and then our Keno East target. So there'll be some balance of drilling across those three most advanced targets with the idea of building a resource to take to the market here at some point in the near future.
Okay, so it sounds like this year, potentially more resource-focused drilling to get a resource out the door, but again, still sounds like you guys have a lot of targets to go after. Any idea what the budget is going to be for this year's drill program? Again, you guys just finished the releasing last year's program, but in terms of cash in the bank and budget that you're going to allocate here, what can you tell us?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a fair balance between Keno and our La Plata project in Southwest Colorado that we recently announced our near billion pound copper inferred resource. But, with our recent financing of around 4 million Canadian, I think we'll be somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 million at Keno, and then somewhere around that, maybe a little bit less for our La Plata project.
Well, Scott, let's just maybe touch a little bit more on La Plata. I mean, you did just put out that resource. You do have the drill program that's coming up for this year. But what would you like people to take away from all the work you've done at La Plata to get it not just to resource stage, but to show people that there's a wealth of mineralogy there, especially the copper numbers?
You know, if we talk about this district, as we did last time we discussed, you know, this district has really been defined as a precious metal rich porphyry system with an associated high grade epithermal system. And a lot of the historic work done prior to the 1950s was focused on the epithermal high-grade narrow vein gold silver telluride veins. In the 50s, the majors came in, Freeport, Rio Tinto, through the 70s, and really did more work focusing on the porphyry system where the copper occurs. That at that time, the project wasn't consolidated in terms of land ownership or mineral access rights, and that we've been able to do that. So we've got both the high-grade epithermal systems and the precious metal-rich porphyry system with which to target on. The resource itself is very significant, obviously, at nearly a billion pounds. It contains 15 million ounces of silver within it, and it's open in all directions. So we have the ability to kind of come into La Plata now with a follow-up program and work to expand the existing resource, but we have the optionality of drilling some of these high-grade epithermal systems as well, and some of the 16 other potential porphyry centers that have not been tested by previous explorers. So there's a lot of potential. We've got a lot of optionality in terms of how we move forward, not only with the copper porphyry, but the high-grade gold, silver, telluride mineralization, and building an understanding of the platinum palladium grades that we've seen in some of the historic drilling.
All right, Scott, sounds like you guys are going to have a lot of work underway this year. We'll follow along as the news trickles out from the company in terms of exploration plans and then when the drills start turning. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Scott regarding anything going on with either of the projects within Metallic Minerals, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. Scott, thanks again for your time, and please keep us up to date on future news.
Thank you very much.